So this morning I'm not going to preach, if that's okay. I'm just going to muse for a bit. Is that all right? I was supposed to get back Friday. We were supposed to get back Friday. We got back Saturday at 5 o'clock, like right in time for the prom deadline for Mia. So Patty still got to curl her hair, which was fantastic. But thought we were maybe going to miss it. So I had these ideas of on the plane, like being able to really write and prepare. And I was like stuck next to two people and one guy with the seat back the whole time. And I was like, all right. So you're going to get some musings this morning, if that's all right. And then maybe a little bit more congealed next Sunday when we meet. But just more than anything, I just want to say thank you to you guys. This was a huge gift. And man, we really needed it. We spent a week in Sevilla on the front end, which was gorgeous and beautiful, but man, like 3 days worth of like detoxing from all the adrenaline, I think, of the last 2 years, let alone 20 years. It's hard at first to sit still, and you guys know that. We all struggle with it. But that was just a necessary part of this journey, and I think good preparation for, by the time we got to walking, I think we were ready. Patty took a flamenco class when we were in Sevilla, which was awesome. A little cooking class, learned to make paella. So we did some, little sweet little things there, but we mainly just were quiet there. But to do this has been for me like, yes, it's been a bucket list thing, but it really has served as a metaphor to me as I think about the church, this idea of pilgrimage and how important that is. And honestly, I've been holding these kind of two metaphors when I think about church, and I think we're at a time of massive upheaval in the church, but I think that that's normal for the church historically. We go through times of having to refind the center and coming back to the mere Christianity, right? What is that thing at the heart of this? That thing that holds us all together in a world that is factioning and splintering. How do we get back to this message of Jesus, this gospel that is really there to unite and pull us together? That's what the gospel did, right? They came up with this word Christian to describe this community of people gathering across all these normal factions and lines that would splinter. The people would gather and they would share meals. They would love each other in community and love God together. Like, oh my gosh, how do we do that? And so meeting with a coach who was asking me, like, Jeff, what's the image? What's the vision? And, I kind of had these two metaphors. The first one, which I maybe have mentioned this to you, kind of like farm to table. Like, I want to do church farm to table. I want to do this small church well. I remember somebody telling me that one time that big can't do small. There's something about small and intimate and connected. How do we do, as this small church, how do we do it really well? Not to pat ourselves on the back, but to pursue excellence. I think that's what you talked about, Rose, when you shared. How do we do this with excellence and quality that God longs for, that have this beautiful community? But there's something about small too that can be authentic and intimate and vulnerable. I think that farm to table idea is something that I carry with me, as well as the Camino, this idea of pilgrimage, and that so much of our lives, let alone our faith, is this idea of journey, that growth does take place at this slower pace, and that when Patty talks about 3 miles per hour, there's a Japanese theologian who kind of coined that idea of that's the pace of love, that's the pace that God moves at. And using Jesus as an example, who is always walking, that so much of Jesus' time in these years of ministry was spent walking with this small group of people at 3 miles per hour. And that so much of ministry happens at that pace. You know, I'm thinking about how we went from Santiago to Madrid on our way home in like 45 minutes. What took us days to walk. Right? And so often we're flying around in this world when the slow work is the deep work. that it's holding on to questions as opposed to just filling in the blanks with all the right answers. Does that make sense? I remember coming across this Rilke quote, which you've all come across too, where he writes in these like letters to a young poet, he writes, live the questions now. Perhaps then someday far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer. And I think so much of the spiritual journey is about living into questions, sitting with questions, letting those questions go deeper and deeper. I think what we realize as we go is we all have a tendency to ask the wrong questions. I think sometimes that's what's getting shaped more than anything, is the true or the deeper questions that they, like layers, peel away. And I think that happens at 3 miles per hour. I think it happens at a thoughtful pace. And I think that we live in a world that is just winding up faster and faster and faster, where forget about watching the news. You're just scrolling Twitter like ding, 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 like per up, like down to the second coming at you constantly. And so I think about Jesus, and I think this 3 mile per hour pace is part of what Jesus models for us. That Jesus says, look, I've come that you would have life and life abundant. I'm going to show you how to do it. And what you need to do is learn to walk with me. I think so often we're either way behind Jesus or way in front of him. And he's saying, just come walk with me. And that's, I think, really what we did. We spent 10 days walking with God. And that it happened by just experiencing and moving and taking all that in, absorbing. In Matthew 8:20. Jesus says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And I don't think that was accidental, and I don't think that was just purely sacrificial. I think Jesus was saying to us, this is in a way a model or a metaphor of how we're to live on pilgrimage, being strangers to this world, right? Traveling through this, realizing that our home is an eternal one and yet to come. And you've heard me say this. I kind of get fixated on passages here or there, but this year the rich young ruler has just stood out to me as such a powerful image of what Jesus invites us to. And you guys know the story, but I'll repeat it. This man comes and he's done everything right. He's like Ivy League Jew. Comes in and like says, I think I've checked every single box, but just to make sure, is there anything else? And Jesus says, yeah, sell all you have and come follow me. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, come follow me. And I was talking to somebody recently and they were like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to sell everything and give it to the poor and come follow Jesus. And why isn't anybody else doing that? And I'm thinking, oh, I think maybe you don't see the invitation in that. That Jesus, it turns out, like, looks at this young man and loves him. And I think Jesus says, come with me. Let's go. Let's go do it, and let's go do it together. Instead of saying, here's a challenge that you're not going to be able to meet, sell everything, right? Like, he's almost like a punishment. And I think Jesus is going, oh, you don't need all that stuff. Let's, like, go do the abundant life. Let's go live into it. Let's go walk into this. And do you see how the texture of that is so different? One being like some added level of merit. And you see Jesus loving this guy, but going, no, 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 you've got this all wrong. Come with me. And this idea of a pilgrimage, of joining with Jesus, is about participating in what he's doing and loving the work. So in 1 Peter 2, Peter just goes like, we've been called because of Christ, and he's left us this example so that you might follow in his steps. I just think that's fantastic. How do we as a church follow in Jesus' steps? 3 miles per hour, doing the slow work that God does, planting seeds, right? When we think of planting seeds, you go like, oh, if you can just go to the flower store, you can get a whole bundle. But you like go, no, spiritual fruit takes about 100 days to flower. And these images, these metaphors that God gives us, this is the invitation. All right. So my guy that I was meeting with was like, Jeff, you need to just go do it. You need to go walk it and then take your church on it. So we did. That's the plan. But walking it was like, I think there was an experience that I'm still sort of unpacking, which is why, you know, I think this guy suggested taking some time. I think that you walk into these moments and go, oh, there's more going on than I'm aware of right now. Like your mind's trying to get its head around something bigger that's happening. I've heard that the most significant moments in our lives, we tend to lack the words to go with them. And I think this was like that for us. I felt a few times stirred so deeply and so emotionally, and I still don't totally know why. There's some of them I do. You start the first day we walk to the base of this cross and you carry a stone with you and leave it there. What you're leaving behind, it's the highest point on the Camino. And I remember I kind of blogged about this, not even knowing what I was going to leave behind, and then finding myself all of a sudden seeing it and leaving this stone and feeling so moved and thinking, I'm going to spend these next few days trying to understand what I just left behind. I still don't know, although it ties into something that Steve said to me a few years ago. So Steve Krantz, I'm probably need to process something with you at some point in a good way, in a really good way. I love how God does this. You get this sense that God at 3 miles an hour is like, let's go here. Right? And I'm going, no, I've got something I need to work out, God, first. This is the question. And he's like, here's a better question. And comes and brings us to the deeper work, the heart work. And gosh, who wouldn't want that, right? I think sometimes that's the reason why we're here, to like learn and grow and understand. Jesus is going, I want you to know who you are. I want you to know who I am. That's the invitation of pilgrimage. We met some of the most interesting people on this little pilgrimage of ours. And I think it's because pilgrimage probably draws a certain type of person. Our guide said, yeah, people that are out here are kind of misfits. And I was like, no, I can relate to that. I'm not offended by that at all. But it's a certain type of person that's walking. And one lady on our trip carried a White Sox hat, Red Sox hat. I don't know baseball. Thank you, Patty. She, Patty's the sports person in our family. I just surf. But Red Sox hat for her husband who has dementia and he's basically gone and still there, and she was walking it and just carried this hat. Every single photo, that hat for her husband Buzz. It's just beautiful, right? And you go, oh, each one of these steps, you go, oh, you're just taking this long walk. And you go, oh, no, no, no. You're like unearthing the real work. Heavy sadness, but also deep, deep beauty. And we got to walk with these people each step. So many of them trying to figure out why they were going. We had a couple lawyers, a young woman that worked at Facebook, an executive coach, a cowboy, a woman that's like search and rescue. This whole gamut of people, all the thick Nashville accents from these three ladies that we just loved. We called them the Steel Magnolias. They just so beautiful. We've got just these dear, dear friends now. But thinking, this is like what church is like, is a bunch of misfits, right? You go through here and you could talk to any one of you and the story that you have. But the fact that God is at work in your heart, leading you, guiding you. I think of these really beautiful moments that we had. I mean, one day we just got like rained on for 14 straight miles. It was just like relentless. And yet we had like friends as we got soaked through, giving us ponchos, helping us with like all these things as we're going, just totally muddy and soaked, but like smiling inside. There's such joy, I think, sometimes in those interruptions. We taught each other how to care for each other's feet. You know, we're like wrapping lamb's wool around your toes. Have any of you done that? Like, changing our socks, doing all these interesting things, but you also have these like spontaneous, like crazy sweet moments where like, you know, trying to find a bathroom, finally find this like tiny little cafe off to the side that we go in and sit down, and they're like, well, you have to order something if you want to use the bathroom, and they had sangria, so we're like, all right, we'll just do that. We're walking the Camino, you know, and they throw a couple umbrellas at these drinks, and we're sitting down looking at these like fruity drinks going, this is so funny. And our three magnolias come walking in and they're like, umbrella drinks? And you're like, you just got to giggle, right? I'm like, the Camino's filled with all these signs and symbols, but this little umbrella is going to be one of my symbols that I take away, I think. Just so sweet. And you realize like journeying with people that you love. We're just made for that connection, and there's so much value, so much meaning in it, so deeply filled with joy. We had two guides that were with us, Patty mentioned, Piero and Nagore, and they're just beautiful. If we go as a church, which we're going to go as a church, I'm going to request these two, and we'll see if we get lucky, but they, to me, showed me how to pastor. They just cared for us so well and made sure we were all right at certain intersections and places where it could go wrong. They were there ahead of us, then running to the back, making sure the people in the back are okay. Just really modeling something very deep and meaningful. And Nagore, it was her 40th birthday midway through, and so we had this wonderful celebration for her. And she's just delightful. She just sat in there and soaked in all the glory and joy of her birthday. But I was sitting with her at dinner, and I said, if you don't mind me asking, I would just love to hear about, like, your spiritual walk. Which you find, you know, you think that's such a controversial thing. It really isn't. If you ask people that with respect, people are like, and you actually want to know, right? People are very willing to talk. And I think this was one of those moments where it was like my window into what Jesus was trying to do. I think sometimes we think Jesus came down to earth to start a religion. He didn't, right? That's not why he came. And religion is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. But it's only a good thing as long as it's reflecting the gospel, which is how we're meant to live, right? Jesus came to show us how to live. And as we're sitting there, she said that, like, I think probably a lot of you, her childhood was felt like pretty like dogmatic and overly emphasized as far as religion, that this is what you have to be, with a lot of guilt. And I think she just basically went, I don't want to do this. And yet at some point started walking the Camino. And she said, walking the Camino has made me a believer. And I said, why? And she said that comment about the misfits. But she said, it's where she's met God. She said there's a whole stretch there where she was like the only person out there in this huge area walking by herself. And she just started singing at the top of her lungs and dancing and just felt this moment of presence with God. But she said one of the things that's really brought her to her spirituality is the people that she's met on this journey who are walking. And she goes, it's the way they live. And listen to this. She goes, it's the way they live. And this is somebody who was like raised in religion and left really early on. It's the way they lived. She's like, these people, gosh, when you're hungry, they come up and they give you something to eat. If you're thirsty, they give you something to drink. If you don't have anywhere to stay, they invite you in. When your feet are hurting, they take care of them. And I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, I've heard this somewhere. Like somebody said this. Oh, yeah. And it's funny because I'm like listening to her going, she's not quoting scripture, right? She's just talking about a way of living, of deep compassion. And I think you see so often Jesus is going, let me show you how you love. It's by caring for the least of these. Let me show you how you love. It's by taking care of those that are struggling. And when you do it unto me. I just love that. I thought, as I was listening to her, I thought, oh, there's something very holy about this as she's talking. Something that struck me of going like, oh, I never want to lose sight of that, what's at the heart. when we came into Santiago, it's awesome because you come and you crest the top of this hill and then you look down and there's this cathedral of St. James. Not Brother Jesus, Brother John James, who, you know, apparently he got there in a stone boat or something like this, right? It's funny. I love it. This guy, Mike, that was on our trip was like, look, I'm okay with the resurrection, but the stone boat, help me with that. And I was like, okay, let's talk about like tradition versus, right? I mean, these are different categories here. And you do get on a journey like this, you get a lot of that kind of thing. But I loved traveling with the people because the people we were with weren't particularly religious, but all had questions. And I love that about people that are a little bit on the outside of faith coming in is they ask really honest questions, right? Anyway, it was very, very sweet. But we get to Santiago and you're walking through the city and I just was thinking, I didn't quite know what to expect. You walk all the way down, you're walking past these little mile markers or kilometer markers on the way, and it's going down. So all of a sudden you're at 10, and then you're at 9, and then you're at 8, and you're like, oh, we're almost there. And you walk into this beautiful courtyard, and you get kind of all the way to the center, and there's the spot, and you have all these pilgrims just laying down in exhaustion, you know, but with such joy. And we got there, and it just so much emotion. More than I was expecting, so many tears, and just like such sweet, sweet connection for our group when we arrived. And once again, I thought, this means something. I don't totally know what, but felt this beautiful sense of arrival there. And yet, every single book that you read goes, oh, this is the beginning. This is where the Camino begins. They call Santiago like your turnaround point. And I think one of the reasons that people would say, hold on to what you have to share for a while, is I think people would spend the whole way home, which they would walk, processing what they had just been through. And I think that will be like that for us, that's what it's meant to do, that you are supposed to then let this experience really digest. But I think the sort of underlying theme of it all is that this is a way of walking. It's a way of processing through life. And that's as you go to this, they have like a pilgrim's mass there and it's just packed with smelly people. They say even, that's why they swing the incense if you've seen the way and you've seen the, because everybody smells terrible. Right? Everybody's been walking and same clothes forever. But they were saying that, like, as you go, living into the gospel, living into the pilgrimage, not losing sight of that. And I think that's, you know, for us, where we go, oh, we want to cherish that. But I keep thinking we as a church want to embody that. Even if you never walk the Camino, how do we stay on this path? Jesus says he's the truth, but he says also, I'm the way, right? Like, he is the path. He is the way that we walk. How do we stay on this road? He's like, there's a wide road and there's a narrow road. And so many people are going through this wide road, but this narrow one is the way to life. But it's hard. But it's the right sort of hard. Meaning, leaning into the work. And there was just days where we were like, I would wake up and I was thinking, if I didn't have a group going, I'd just sleep in today. There's no way. Like, my ankles are killing me. You know, your legs would be sore, but you just get going, and all of a sudden you're like, no, I'm fine. There we are. And, you know, 15 miles this day, and you get to the end and you're exhausted, but you start again. And I think sometimes church is like that too, where some days we're just limping. And you see people towards the end, and they call it like a Camino limp, where people are like, almost there, but there's blisters, or there's a sore knee, or whatever. But you keep going forward, and you go forward together. You know, one of the things that just stands out to me is thinking about Jesus and the rich young ruler, and thinking about traveling with only a few things, and you realize, gosh, we just need far less than we have, don't we? I keep thinking of that scene from Castaway, remember, with Tom Hanks, where after he's been rescued and he's on the cruise ship and he's staring at like all this food left over from the party that he was just at, and it's like bowls full of shrimp that are like starting to melt, and you know, you've just watched him trying to get just enough for the day, day after day, and here's all this extra, and you see him just going like, what are we doing? All the waste, all the sort of unnecessary things that we carry away, and thinking about, do I really need like 18 cardigans? Do I really need another fountain pen? Do I, the answer is yes to both of those, but do I really need all those books? Yes, but there is other things that I could probably get rid of. But we do, I think some of it is Jesus is saying like, oh, like stay nimble. Right? You don't need all this stuff. That stuff just weighs you down. It becomes where your heart goes and your treasure goes. It starts to rust and decay or get stolen. Like, you don't need that stuff. Don't live your whole life investing in this world only to forfeit your soul. Right? I think that soul is formed by walking with the shepherd. That soul is formed by being led to the green pastures and the still waters. Another thing again, and I've already said this, but the people that we travel with are the greatest gift. And as we walked, we prayed for you guys, prayed for this church, prayed for what God is doing here. But just took joy in each one of you. And we're so grateful for you and realizing that the church is not like a Sunday obligation. Church is like a chosen family that you travel with together. And maybe we don't even choose each other. We just sort of end up together, a bunch of misfits walking together. But thank God for it. And he uses that. He shows up in our midst when we're gathered. That two or three, there's another one there, right? Christ in our midst. We're so grateful for you. And we want to be a church that embraces this idea of journey, of living into questions, of walking with each other, of picking each other up when we stumble, when the trail gets hard, when our feet get blistered, to be there for each other. I'm almost done. Tell me to call them right back. We would love to take a group if you're interested in going. We talked to them and they're like, yeah, you bet. Let us know. But I kept thinking, like, as we're going through, like, oh, Chuck would love this. Oh, like, Tom would love it. Like, just these moments where I like each one of you going like, oh, Michelle, you're going to love this. It's just so good, so rich, so meaningful. But to be able to travel like that and do something like this with you, I think would be beautiful. We would love to do that and to just savor the beauty of this. I wrote this at the start of my journal. There's a poet that I love. His name's R.S. Thomas. And he says this. He says, I think that maybe I will be a little sure of being a little nearer. That's all. Eternity is in the understanding that a little is more than enough. And I just was sitting with that. I think that maybe I will be a little sure of being a little nearer. That's all. Eternity is in the understanding that a little is more than enough. And I think each of us have this like little mustard seed of faith planted in us. And Jesus is saying like, that's enough. And we go, I do believe, bless my unbelief. And Jesus says, that's enough, right? That he takes that and grows something so rich. And I think we journey for our whole lives. I've told you before that I remember being at my mom's church when a woman who was turning 80, they asked her, do you have any wisdom for us? And she said, oh, I just have so much more to learn. And I thought, oh, that's how I want to be, right? I want to get to the end of this journey and with a softness of heart, with a depth where it's been formed in this furnace of like this journey as we learn to persevere. I think about James, the other James, saying that it's in this, in the journey, in the difficulties, that we find the most memorable, most moving, deepest things. It's in the difficult times that we discover how to persevere and that we should consider it joy. And each one of you are such a joy to Patty and I. We're so grateful. We just want to say thank you this morning. We get to go out and enjoy a meal together today. It's going for a good cause. Delighted for Sally, who keeps traveling and doing missions work. And I just think she's an inspiration. But also to these seniors, as we give to this community and care for the kids here, we just feel so much bounty in this place. And I just love to close this time, and as we kind of bring our service to a close, thanks for letting me muse today. Regular sermon next week, I promise. But let me just pray a prayer of thanks. And Jesus, I thank you for what a gift this is. God, I thank you for the way that you walked with Patty and I on this journey. God, the way that you, during this time, have walked with each one here. God, I pray that our eyes would be open to your presence, to the way that you delight in the small things and the little steps, the way you're constantly encouraging us to keep going and to go further, the way that you pick us up when we fall, the way that you teach us in the hard parts of the journey, and the way you reward us with green pastures and still waters at times when we're least expecting it. Thank you, Jesus, you're our shepherd, that you are our peace, that you cover us with your grace and your love and your compassion. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.